What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Friday edition of Unpaved. Happy Halloween to everybody. Sean, how we feeling today?
I'm doing good, man. It's Halloween, and I like candy, so what's not to like about a Friday? And it's a Friday, so we don't have the trashy Monday Halloween or Tuesday where the kids are out, and then they got to wake up early next morning, so they're not out having as much fun as they would, or the adults for that damn matter. And
yeah.
All the fun Friday, because you get all that leads in. This is how Halloween should be falling on a Friday every friggin' year. Not even on a Saturday, on a Friday. People are pumped whole weekend. Frozen Reese's peanut butter cups. I don't mean it as a pat on the back, but I do it because I'm going to keep half of them anyway. I hand out big Smart. Candy bars. So as you know, hand them one, keep me one, hand them one, keep me one. So when it's all over, I got more than I handed out. I hope the kids are out. And what I like is that even in Texas, Segs, is it's not hot. Last year was like 90. I mean, the kids got a costume on. They're damn near dehydrating. You got to give mouth-to-mouth recessives. Their parents to them got to give mouth-to-mouth and start them up because you got a wolf costume right on, and you're about dying in the middle of the street. At least it's a bit chilly and there's a little coolness in the air. So that makes Halloween even better. So enjoy it. Be safe out there and eat that candy up, man.
Last year, I'm pretty sure we had snow on our Halloween up here near Chicago. This year, it's about 50-ish.
I woke up to like high 40s, early 50s, but it'll end up getting like mid-70s or something today. But I remember when I was playing in Minnesota one year on Halloween, we got like 25 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Literally. And the next day, as you well know, in Chicago, people here in Texas or in California would not understand this, is the streets were able to go to work. They got as many shovelers pushing their trucks around as they do damn cars on the road. But I woke up the next day to go to practice. I was able to get to practice. Now, you ain't going very fast, but
right,
in most places it shuts down. 26, 28 inches of snow ain't slowing anything down in the Midwest, as you well know. And we're able to get at it. We're not going to get that here, but at least it's a little chilly. So I love Halloween, man. My pops used to always, my dad was a big man, so tall, about 6'5", about 265, 270. And he'd put on scary music on the patio and come from behind the kids when they were up. So when they turned around, it looked like you were staring at the scariest, biggest dude on the planet when he had a mask on. So last couple of years for those, because I haven't been on this show since last Halloween is
– right.
I'll get, you know, a Mike Myers mask or a Purge mask, Mike Myers, and I'll just stand in the middle of the neighborhood, like when it's, or on the street corner, leaning up against a stop sign with that on and the same kind of jacket, and just stand there and kind of look and never talk and kind of walk the same way.
Right.
People look at me like I'm a nut job, and I am.
They say.
Yeah, there you go. It just happens. I don't need to wear a mask to be a nut job, but
right.
I like Halloween. So hopefully everybody will enjoy it and be safe out there and eat them up, man. Smoke them while you got them. Eat them while you got them, man. I'm all in.
Definitely, definitely. Well, it was a scary night last night for the Miami Dolphins as they lose 28-6 to the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson comes in, didn't have to do a whole lot, threw four touchdowns, but you know, he was never really threatened, it felt like. He was never really, you know, the game was never close, it felt like. Had some terrible officiating calls, which cost the Miami Dolphins. But even with those calls, they're not winning this game. They're not keeping it close. And it just felt like a nice, easy win for the Ravens. And I think they kind of needed one of those. Even though they beat the Bears last week, I think Ravens fans just needed to see Lamar come back, throw the four touchdowns, and just felt easy for him.
It did. It felt like a preseason game extended for the Ravens, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar, you know, the ball didn't hit the ground much. Derek got his 100-plus. They dominated in the run game. He threw the ball four touchdowns. It was efficient. Didn't have to throw it, you know, 50 times. Didn't take a bunch of hits. He looked like, well, the MVP he is every year. Just kept doing his thing. It looked real. I know the game's not easy, but they sure made it look easy last night.
Yes.
And for a defense that's been maligned, you know, with Roquan back out there and having some of their defenders back, they looked more like the Ravens' physical team that was something. Now, hard to judge against a team as soft as the Miami Dolphins. I'm telling you what, man, the Miami Dolphins, aside from a few plays there when they hit some you know, some of the deep, well, I call it bang post, when they're hitting those glances at back-to-back throws from Tua. You think they're going down to score before halftime, you know, and then they whittle it away. I'm telling you now, man, the Miami Dolphins are a hard watch. They really are. They are just a – they've got some good players, but Tua's just blah now. They've got good weapons. It felt to me like it was such a casual night for the Ravens that they didn't even have to extend themselves. And
yes,
I'm usually not – I mean, I'm hard on teams when necessary, but you try to think, okay, when are they going to come out of this? Chris Greer gets fired, which I know we're going to get to. But, yeah, how does a guy like Chris Greer – and Andrew Berry and Scott, you know, Woodward at LSU ADs. We're talking about ADs and GMs last week. The coaches are getting fired, but where are they accountable? Well, two of those three have. I don't push for anybody to get fired, but I do know that in this business, it does happen if you're not productive. We're a production business. And quite frankly, at times we're a potential business that doesn't fire people for a while because they're late to the party. Well, both of them have moved on. I can't fathom that the Miami Dolphins aren't moving on from Mike McDaniel at some point when this season's over. I can't fathom as we go around that some of these survivors. I know at times we bitch about us not being patient enough with quarterbacks, players, general managers, coaches. But then there's also the other side. We bitch about how long are you going to have to see the movie before right. You say who's in charge. Like I said, Segs, I never stand up and cheer. I know this is – other fans may, and this isn't like, well, you know, I'm trying Mr. Soft Sell, but I don't ever stand up and cheer for somebody to lose their job. I try to think, and when you go on Twitter and you say something harsh or on social media, I do try to think about the guys got, you know, the guys or girls, whoever the AD or the yeah. president of the university or coaches have family, kids. I know it's happened to me. You go to school and kids at 12 are talking to their kids and, you know, you're the dad at home and the kids are coming home. It's like I try to get that and think that there is yeah. some human nature involved in this. And I hope that we're all civil enough to realize that. But the other side of it is in any job, people get fired and get replaced all the time. Trust me, I know all about that. So and the world knows about it. Everybody, if you haven't at some point in time, it's money here or we need somebody else here. We go younger here. We're going older and more experienced here. That if you're not producing, you got to look at the reasons why. The Miami Dolphins need a full facelift, dude. They just do. I mean, we can go up and down the league. So I'm watching the Dolphins last night. I know they gave a good game last week, but the Miami Dolphins are a hard watch because I feel like they play like the beach they're sitting on.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I feel like it's just football's getting in the way of sitting in the sand. That's how I feel. Baltimore looked a little urgent last night. I think they started to look around like, are we going to get challenged at all here? I mean, it's 14-6. The Dolphins are driving. Then it's like, I do. I feel like it's grab me a Mai Tai on a beach or a doggone frozen Margot, and we're going to play. Oh, we got a football game. I'm not even talking about the fans. I'm talking about the team.
Yeah, the players.
Way too casual to me. And the Miami Dolphins need a wholesale change, and they need, quite frankly, probably a fire sale. And it doesn't just mean the players at this trade deadline. It is a hard watch for a team that plays exactly like the state they live in. Little golf, and I'm not done. And I love the state. No misunderstanding. Right. But they play like I'm on vacation. Hit Disney World up, pop on down to Miami and have a night at the club. Boom, go to the beach and, you know, and sit out and get some of the great waves. Head on down and fish in Isle Mirada down there and stay down there and just get to the Keys, have a cold beer. I feel like that's how their team plays. The Miami Dolphins are zero threat in this division. Zero.
Yeah, zero threat. And you mentioned it. GM Chris Greer let go. They're mutually parting ways, whichever.
He was fired.
He had been there for, I want to say, 8 or 9 seasons and just nothing since 2016. So, I mean, just a terrible roster construction, just a terrible. Now, they do have some pieces in the assistant GM, Champ Kelly, will be taking over. He's got some pieces in Bradley Chubb he could trade. He's got Jalen Phillips, the young pass rusher. He's got Jalen Waddle if he wants to consider trading him. They've got
some talk about that.
There has been talk about Waddle moving to start that rebuild that you're talking about. They need the full facelift. They need, and they came out today and said Mike McDaniel is going to be the coach the rest of the season. I mean, whatever. He's fired after this year. No new GM is keeping that guy on. You want to bring, you get the GM job, or, I mean, we've seen it recently where the head coach gets the head coaching job, and then they hire a GM. Whichever way Miami does this, they're going to have new leaders at the top of the organization in terms of GM and head coach. And this is a job that will take a few years to turn around. You know, do you take a quarterback in the first round this year? That's something that'll be discussed. Tua's on
which
contract.
Which one? Who are you going to take? Who right now impresses you enough to be the first pick, to be a top five pick? I mean, I know somebody will just out of attrition and out of need, somebody will rear their head. You just paid a guy 50 plus million. He'd be a hard trade for 50 plus million in Tua right now to go somebody to take that deal on. But right now, there's not a quarterback in this draft right now in the first five picks that right now that I believe is changing. And listen, Sellers has got potential. We know Arch Manning talk. We know Nussmeier talk. All the talk. But I don't see anybody. I mean, Mendoza, who looks good. But it's a one-year starter that we're saying, are you ready to turn your franchise over to a guy right now that's not set? There's nobody in college football. You wake up, that's the guy. No questions asked. I'll bet you 32 GMs, well, 31 as we sit now because one of them's out in Miami. I'll bet you they sit around and say, if you asked them all who's clearly the best quarterback in this draft, I'll bet you'd get 15 different answers from – or 10 different answers from 31 different general managers, and the Dolphins, you know, a new GM would say the same. Segs, with this, here's the issue. If you're the – I never believe if you're going to empower a GM and hire him, you should never, ever, ever allow a coach to be hired. Now, I know they have one in place. And if a new GM comes in, if you're hiring a new GM, you cannot look at him and say, you're taking this job, you're keeping that coach. Unless, of course, he comes from an assistant GM in San Francisco, loves Mike, wants to keep him. Now, if you want to keep Mike McDaniel, the owner, and you hire a GM, but you say, this is your team to make these decisions, and he wants to fire Mike McDaniel, then he ought to have the bandwidth to do that. You better give him the autonomy to do exactly that. Yeah. So I don't like teams that go get a coach and then bring a GM in, because you've already cut the GM's balls off at the by saying, well, this guy's got more power than me. So that's not the way it is. You need to stand side by side. But when it gets right down to it, too many chefs, I like a lot of information, but one dude making the decision, then he goes to the owner and said, can you pay this? This is a guy, this is the contract, this is who I want. Do you approve it? Right. But you don't. That's how you've got to define roles, and they've got to define them, and you've got to say, "Hey, plan your work and work your plan." You bring a GM, and then some will take the gig because they got it. But if you're going to hire me, then you got to let me make the decision on the guy that I want to bring in as the coach. Because usually GMs don't get fired when your team's kicking ass. Okay, that doesn't happen. So, and the coach is fortunately going to keep his for his sake the rest of the year. But you cannot cut the balls off a GM, the next guy you bring in, and say, yeah, take this job, but it can't be take this job, but it's got to take this job and you do what you need to do to fix this team.
Yes. And you have the power to
make
the decisions regarding the roster. Moving on, big game this week. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but Chiefs at Bills, you know, when you look at this game, do you think this kind of, well, I mean, we know it does. The winner kind of takes that top spot in the AFC, in my opinion. You know, there's not many teams in the AFC you look at and you're like, okay, that's a Super Bowl contender. To me, right now, there's the two. It's the Chiefs and it's the Bills. You got, teams like the Broncos are okay. The Chargers seem to have found something, but they're still not at that level.
Isn't that blatant disrespect to the Colts, those things? You don't buy that. You don't buy in. You're giving Buffalo with their schedule better than the Colts, who are amassing tremendous offensive numbers, and they may be in the mood to trade for somebody to get an edge rush to get a little more help on defense. But so we're saying Buffalo, with their four wins, have been against
four
wins
teams.
Or five wins? Four bad teams, even five. And the Patriots as well. Listen, I went in and picked Buffalo to I think win the whole thing this year. I think on my prediction, I think I had it. But they haven't dominated a good team yet. Now I understand what you're saying by saying that if they are able to take on and beat the Kansas City Chiefs in Buffalo, it's in Buffalo, and they win this game, they're beating what we all say right now is the best team in the AFC, maybe in the NFL, with the way they're playing the last month. Agreed?
Yes.
So I get that. But if this was in college and we were judging quality wins, how could we make them number one right now? But it's not college. I get now, if they go dominate them, does that mean Buffalo can't beat Indianapolis or Buffalo? If I was betting and you say Indianapolis is playing Buffalo in the playoffs today and it's in Buffalo, I'm picking Buffalo as well. But I think that right now the Patriots and Colts deserve a lot more respect from all of us. We're basing Buffalo on preseason and Josh Allen and Cook. That's how we're – and the veteran leadership and the coaching staff and the way they go. The truth of the matter is both the Patriots and the Colts, judging by their schedule, have played better consistent football than the Bills, although I'd love my Kalshi out in front futures pick as the Buffalo Bills to go win the thing. But if I'm being fair – right now, I understand the Chiefs, and I understand our thoughts about the Bills. If they beat Kansas City, I'd be more impressed if they went and beat Kansas City in their building. They better win in Buffalo. But I maybe it's just the Colts pass, Segs. But if we're judging on looks this year, how are the Colts and Patriots not better in people's eyes than the Buffalo Bills? Is it because just Josh Allen and history?
Yeah, I think so. And I think when I look at, let's just start here with the Patriots. Patriots, yes, they beat the Bills in Buffalo. I'll give them – that's a good win. Other than that, they beat the Browns, Titans, Saints, Panthers, and Dolphins. So not a good team there.
Similar to Buffalo's victory.
Right. And then, I was just looking at the Colts, if I could pull it up here real fast. They've got a good hard-fought win against a decent Broncos team. They've got a good win over the Chargers, but then it's Titans, Cardinals, Raiders, Dolphins, Titans. So, and that's the problem with when we see these weekends like last weekend where it was just all blowouts. We have a clear division and, there's maybe just a few like good football teams. It's either like you're pretty good or you're really fucking bad. You know what I mean? And that's where I just look at it. And yes, Buffalo does not even have a statement win yet. I agree with that. But I think in the end, it's the trust factor of Josh Allen's. And Sean McDermott.
I fully agree with that because we're still having trouble letting go of, the Patriots, are they really this good with do they have enough explosiveness? Right. And we're looking at the Colts saying, Daniel Jones, but maybe Daniel Jones is this guy in the first round pick as opposed to the guy we saw with the Giants and the way he's coached up. Segs, here's what validates what we've been saying about shitty football in this league, that there's more shitty than there is good. Well, you watched the Miami Dolphins play last night.
Yes.
We just named three of the four best teams in the AFC.
Yep.
Buffalo, the Patriots, and the Indianapolis Colts. The Kansas City Chiefs would be the fourth in that melting pot, right? Those would be the four teams. Think about the three we just named the Patriots. I know you can only play the teams that are on the schedule, right? I get it. But it just validates who they've beaten and how those teams are of what this league's given us right now. With the Colts, the Patriots, and the Bills, of the three, there is, two quality wins? Buffalo doesn't have one. The Patriots got one. And the Colts, maybe three. That's the most quality win of the group.
Yeah.
Probably. And then you look at Indianapolis, the Chargers, and they've kind of fluctuated good and bad at times. So when you look at it like that, you're saying, damn. Is it really good at the top, or are we really bad from like team 10 on down? Hell, trying to find 12 teams worthy of it when this is it 12? Yeah, we're 6-6, right? Seven.
Yeah.
Are we 12 teams, right? Yes. I get lost in, is it seven playoff teams? Or we're at 14 now.
Seven.
Four. Yeah, we're at 14 now.
Seven,
right.
Seven, yes.
14. So now find me 14 teams that you say half the damn league,
right?
Two teams shy of half the league, and we're saying, can you really tell me, like the college playoff, the 16th team in college football, well, the 12th now if they get to 16, but 12, that the 12th team, the gamut they got to run through to win a championship would be pretty brutal, right? I mean, that's a hard road to hoe, especially if you know, if we didn't have buys, I'm saying, Segs, 1 versus 12, boom, boom, boom. And you go, if we get 16, that's what they want to do. One would play 16. And to run that gamut with depth, the 16th team at some point in time isn't just going to have the depth. In the NFL, 14 teams, you think, well, we know that wild cards have gone on to win Super Bowls, but that's when Aaron Rodgers was in Green Bay and they went on to win a Super Bowl and had 10 guys hurt and played their ass off. I don't know if we have that team that's like the last wild card, at least what I've seen this year with performance on the field. So there it goes. But I do not want to shrink the way the Patriots and the way the Colts have played. Buffalo's got something to prove, and this Sunday is going to be a good chance to do it. Kansas City had a lot to prove in the last month. They have put their foot on your throat and proved it.
Yes.
Baltimore didn't prove much last night because, well, Baltimore beat a team that's horseshit right now.
Right. And I mean, if you go by standings and stuff, you've got the Broncos sitting at 6-2. But again, I think that's a flawed 6-2. And you kind of just got to go back on, you know, who do you trust? You trust Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. You trust Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. I think Mike Vrabel and Drake May are gaining our trust. Steichen and Daniel Jones is the one we're like, huh? But then you've got Sean Payton and Bo Nix. You've got Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. So you got a lot of good duos. And you're right, the team with the best freaking record in the league is Shane Steichen and Daniel Jones. Like, it's just, and that's the crazy part of the NFL right now.
And I can make this argument, though, too, Segs, that when you mentioned McDermott, who I have nothing but respect for, an Andy Reid guy, you know, when he was with Andy, and has been there a while now. But in truth, I'll bet if you ask that question to some Buffalo Bills fans, they're wondering how much they trust him in. Now, they know how to play against Kansas City, but do they know how to get to February and win? That answer right now is no. So I think most people would say, do I trust Josh Allen? Hell yes. But there will be some who will say, well, when's the last time McDermott played in February? And your answer would be never. As a head coach. So there will be, so I have nothing but great respect for him, but they keep coming up short too. So hell, if that's the case, you got to throw him into Vrabel. You got to throw him into, we got to throw him into those categories, because guess how many Super Bowls Mike's been to as a head coach? The same amount as Shane Steichen as a head coach and the same amount as Sean McDermott as a head coach. Yeah. Zero. So it goes back to, of those three, who do you trust the most? Allen, May, Jones, and you'd probably go Allen, May, Jones, right? Even though Daniel Jones is playing like an MVP as well. And of the four, number 15 that's coming to town to play in Buffalo is the guy you trust as much as anybody in the world when it comes to finding ways to win to get to February. So that's why there is no clear-cut Heisman guy. We're trying to find the clear-cut MVP, and we're trying to find who the clear-cut best team in football is, and especially in the AFC this weekend. You'll get an idea of people's feelings around, 6-7 o'clock on Sunday in Buffalo, right?
Yep, right as that game. Yeah, and that's an interesting conversation, and maybe one that we can have later. But, like, when you talk about Buffalo fans not trusting, you know, I just think back to, like, think about Brady and Manning. You know, as everybody trusted both quarterbacks, but for a while there it was Tony Dungy. Like, do you get rid of Tony Dungy? Because it was years, you know, what, 5-6 years of him and Peyton Manning, and then they finally got over that hump of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and that's where it's just kind of at with Sean McDermott and Josh Allen, and even John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, and we're not talking about them, but if they start stringing some wins together here and they get healthy and maybe make a move for the defensive side of the ball by next Tuesday afternoon, now we got to start, okay, they're working their way back in. They're dangerous, we know, but how do they do in January if they can get there?
Right. I think Baltimore thinks that they're a Super Bowl team still, Segs. I do.
I think
that this is kind of shifted for them real quick. Every year we have them just like at the beginning of this year. Oh, of course they're going to be deep into the playoffs. They're one of the teams to beat. Then we saw the beginning of this year. It's like, what? Injuries? Mm-hmm. lack of physicality, need some upgrade in certain areas on defense. And you're the ball laying on the ground just was uncharacteristic. Then Lamar gets hurt, and we're like, they're done. I not only left them for dead, I kicked dirt on them. Not on John or Lamar, but just on the whole, it's too much to overcome. But the AFC is working their way back to them. I know the record-wise, some are extended, you know, with Denver and with Colts and with – I get record-wise. But nobody's playing great enough to say that at some point in time, if Baltimore gets the physicality and health fixed fully, that they can't chase you down and at least get to January. Because right. 3 weeks ago, I'd have said, playoffs, the old Jim, they ain't going to playoffs. But Browns aren't any good. Cincinnati Bengals aren't any good. And the Pittsburgh Steelers defense isn't any good.
Yeah.
If I said right now in a round robin tournament, those four teams play, you know, in one of those, everybody's playing everybody. Who's moving on? You know who you're taking?
Baltimore.
Baltimore Ravens, more than likely. Yep. More than likely. So who knows? And maybe for the Baltimore sakes, this is the one year where I don't want to say sneak up on you. You never get to sneak up on you when Lamar Jackson's your quarterback. You don't sneak up on anybody.
Right.
But maybe this is the year where it's like we kind of just blew them off and they're in the midway point. Because at the midway point, we usually got him as the MVP and those guys headed towards January. And what are they going to do in January? Now it's – if it's possible, they're kind of flying under the radar because when I talk about five or six teams in the AFC, guess who's not mentioned? Them.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still questioning because they beat a team that, well, that maybe Seminole High School can beat in Florida right now, the way the Miami Dolphins play. But other than that, so I think that just like the Chiefs, maybe we don't want to bury Baltimore just yet if Lamar's healthy.
For sure. For sure. Only a game and a half out in that division. And I think that, you know, Pittsburgh's just an average football team.
I love what Grass Guy did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love what Grass Guy did. He said he took Baltimore to win the division 2 weeks ago with Kalski. Got his futures pick in there. Say, I kind of like that prediction. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, do not be shocked if he's collecting that money. I'm telling you, it will not shock me one bit. Good on you. And smarter, not just to pick Baltimore, but smarter to use Kalski to do it. So there you go. I love it.
100%. 100%. Sean, I don't know if you've seen any of this YouTube TV, ESPN stuff going on, but my wife was, we were sitting here watching, she was watching some show on ABC and I was watching the football game and all of a sudden her show cuts out and she's like, well, what the heck happened? You know? So I start looking around, I'm like, wait, and then it pops up on the screen, you know, YouTube TV does no longer has the Disney channels, which is ABC, ESPN, the Disney channel, and a bunch. I think there's 17 or so channels on YouTube TV that are owned by Disney. So they couldn't come to their agreement last night, which was the deadline. So now as we sit right now, we will not have college football games on ABC if you have YouTube TV, which I do. This is
just I haven't cut another... the cord yet, Sakes. I
haven't. Oh, you still haven't cut
the cord. I'll get it. I have not cut the cord yet. Overpaying for all of it, unfortunately.
I remember when I did cut the cord. I was still living in Texas, and we're just like, this is insane. I think we had DirecTV at the time and we're like, we're paying an insane amount. And this is when DirecTV was still like $40 a month, or not DirecTV, YouTube TV was like $40 a month. So we made the change and it was awesome. It was great. Now YouTube TV is up to, I want to say $93. It started at $35 when they opened it up. We're now up to $93 a month. And then you can get add-ons for more money, obviously. But this is just another instance in sports and kind of in life where the fans slash the, you know, people paying for it just continue to get screwed over by these big corporations. And in the end, none of them give a shit about the viewers or the fans or whatever when it comes to them having to pay more money. Yet are their salaries of coaches and players and GMs and everything just continues to skyrocket.
Welcome to billionaire versus billionaire.
Yeah.
I mean, in truth, Segs, how many times have you heard me say in any of these negotiations, the collective bargaining agreement, when the NFL is negotiating with the players and all, you know, all the stuff that goes on in all sports,
mm-hmm.
who never gets a seat at the table? The fan. They're not negotiating thinking, when this gets done, I'm hiking your subscription price. Are they going to apologize to you no matter who it is? I don't care what network it is or what subscription it is. You think they're going to apologize to you when they're charging you $199 for Super Bowl Sunday, which is coming.
Right.
I don't know what the price, it's coming. You are going to, at some point in time, have to pay to watch the national championship and watch the, you're going to pay in a roundabout way you do anyway, because if you got cable, right, or if you got the subscription, but you're going to have to pay an extra fee for that event, just sticking to the Super Bowl. It's coming, whether you like it or not. Why wouldn't it? You want to know why? Because as much as it would suck, but if the NFL says Super Bowl Sunday, subscribe only, you or I, I'm paying for it, or my buddy is, and he's going to charge at the door. We go in when we have the Super Bowl party at the house. You're going to pay for it like a boxing match when Tyson goes and fights, you know, Paul. You're still going to pay for it for the you're looking for the train wreck. And in this case, you're not missing the Super Bowl, even if it's just to have the social party, because you don't want a social, you don't care about the damn game. You want the social party. And they know it. And the fans are not getting a seat at that table either. And they're going to hike your beer price. They're going to make you pay $27 for a dog eventually. Eventually, only the guys who wear suit and ties that can afford it, because a construction worker like my old man would have never been able to go to a game at this day and age with four kids. We'd have never been able to do it. We just couldn't, because that's a two-week paycheck for my dad on one game.
Yep.
And I'm not just saying me. There's more of those out there than there are guys who can afford to pay. Oh, man, you're going to buy the suite. You got it. And here's $250,000 and I'll buy tickets and it costs $15,000. No, but they are going to get you. But as we look now, whose side am I supposed to be on? ESPN and Disney, when they've been fucking people over with their prices for a while too. I'm talking about just in the business side. I'm not talking about what you get to see on TV. I'm talking about on the business side. And then you got this. What? I'm supposed to feel sorry when they're pleading, please, you know, go tell them, write a letter to them, go on this.com. And I get why they're doing it. And on the other side, you're YouTube saying, so I got to cater to you guys. It's billionaire versus billionaire. And guess what? You're just the minion, and so am I, that gets caught in the struggle. And you are going to get it, because the negotiation ain't getting done tonight on Halloween, trick or treat. Yeah. You're getting tricked. So understand what perfect timing too, right? So who am I supposed to be mad at? You're going to get us either way. In all is said and done, guess what you're going to get? You're going to take a big old rubber thing right to your ass is what you're getting. And that's exactly what this is. Whether you want it. Now, for some, they may say, oh, that's awesome, Sean. I'd love to have that happen. Well, for most of us, it's like, nah, I'll pass, right?
Yeah, pass.
I'll pass. I could get a prostate check when necessary, not like that. So that's what you're getting. Bend over, grab your ankles, and kiss your ass goodbye. Because even if this does get done, guess what's happening down the road here in the next six months to a year? You want to know? Your subscription price somewhere is going up. So you do it, you cut the cord, and then you end up getting 15 of these different things. Before you know it, you're still paying $350 a month to cover it all. So I hate to say it, I don't feel sorry for either one. I don't. So they're pleading that I feel bad for the fan who's going to wake up on Saturday morning and is like you said, that can't watch. You're going to have to go to a bar all day, and you have three kids at home. Well, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? You're going to leave your wife and go to watch the game and then come back and check on everybody and make sure everybody's good and go. But, you know, your kids got games and pop on over there and get an hour watching your favorite team play.
Right.
That ain't the way it's supposed to be.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? That ain't the way it's – you don't have a fourth kid yet, do you, Segs, that you know of?
No. I cannot have any more kids. So if that one comes along, I know 100% it's not mine. So because I got that changed right after the twins. Like I wasn't – there was no way a fourth one was coming. But, yeah, it's just – well, and – you know, there's a lot of talk when you look at X regarding this, all this stuff, and there's enough people from the industry, from ESPN, you know, back channels and everything, that I opened up my ESPN app today to check scores, you know, stats, whatever. What's the first thing I see? Oh, go buy our app for on sale right now for it was $40. Now I believe it's $30, or it was $50 and now it's $40 a month just to get ESPN. The only thing I watch ESPN for is games
and college game day. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, with the way my schedule's been, I haven't even watched that. So it's just like,
Yeah, because you're a taxi cab service on Saturday for your kids' games, man.
Yeah, busy, busy, busy. So, I mean, it's just, it's insane that we continue to have this shit happen over and over and over again. And the fans, you know, you say it. For example, my boys want to go watch a Bears game. They want to go to a Bulls game or a Blackhawks game. Now, Blackhawks, White Sox, Cubs, I can swing because there's enough good deals on all these different sites that you can find tickets and go to a game relatively cheap. Bears, Bulls, no way. No way I could afford to go to one game because it's like, well, shit, there goes a car payment or this or that. And it's like, holy cow.
I always want these big networks or big negotiating, these streaming service, all these that we get all our stuff from. I want them to grow a set of balls at some point in time and show us the bottom line that you really, truly care about the fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to speak if I'm the executive at ESPN, if I'm the big decision maker, the CEO, the CFO making these decisions, the chairman of the board for either side. You want to come on when you turned on there and check and score six? You really want to impact and show the fans how much you feel? Say, you know what? We didn't get this done. Screw it. 2026 is on us.
Yeah.
Be willing to take that hit. Or 2026 is a third of the price. Instead of 50 or 40, $10. You're going to make some. Hey, never. I mean, I understand loss happens, but like they tell you, when you take less in your contract, when you're getting negotiations, well, got to take less. COVID hit. And we got to take less to the talent or whoever, the executives in the building. Got to take less. Got to take a little less, 10%, because we want to keep you, but we don't want our big dogs to leave to go to Fox or somewhere else, but we got to keep you. So can you take a little less in this negotiation? We'll make it up on the back end, which they never do. But anyway, you get that. So why don't you do the same for the fan? Why? Because they're not in the building and not turning on a mic and spewing some hot takes. Why don't you do it for the fan? You really want to impact? Don't come at me saying 50 to 40. Come at me saying 50 to 25. Come at, then I'll know that you're giving us a seat at the table when the other group isn't, or vice versa. Right. You want to do that? Now let's do that. Now you're telling me that, yep, we're taking a hit this year, just like people all over the world took a hit during COVID or when earnings are down, they go to earnings. Okay, so you're taking a major hit with this. So guess what you do? Prove to the fans, because then you know what? That's how you build loyalty, not through this, not through the chatter. Build loyalty in their wallet, because at a time when people are getting their ass kicked, maybe, just maybe, so they can still watch you and tell everybody how great you are turning on your programming, that you'll cut it in half, cut it to a third, and then watch. Then you won't lose them, because a lot of times in my world, if I leave you one time for whatever reason, I'm just speaking for me, I ain't ever coming back.
Right.
Grocery store, shitty service at a movie, bad restaurant, horrible prices for that. Once I'm out and cut you, I'm done.
Yep.
I'm done. And you don't have, there ain't enough to get me to come back, because if you're going to pee in my face, please don't tell me it's raining. That's all I'm saying. So regardless of whose side, I'm not rooting for any, I'm rooting for my friends that don't have to go through it, of course. But guess what? I'm not rooting for any billionaire side. Right. They got their own problems. Let them work it out. And in the process, if you're one of those that's struggling with it, change services. If you're not happy, I'm talking about any time. That's why I say, get the point. You want to send a message? It's like when people say, well, look what's going on in our country. Go vote. If you're going to bitch, go vote. If you don't vote, where's your bitch? So I understand that. Same thing here. If you're really serious about it and you don't want to do it, then find yourself a new place to go to get it. Somebody else will offer it different now for you, because they're going to pounce. You know what that is, Sigs.
Yep.
Let's pounce. If you're one of those other ones, wouldn't you lower your price by $5 or $10 to get them to switch? I would. 100%. That to me is that's just good business. Steal the other people competitive. Just steal the viewers away. That's how you're going to make your money.
Well, I will be one of those people who will be looking at some point today, like Hulu TV. They have live TV, Fubo TV. There's enough little things that, because one thing now I don't think I could ever see myself doing is going back to Dish.
Right.
Going back to DirecTV and having to have them come to the house to set it all up. That's the lovely thing about the streaming stuff is it's simple. You just download it and go. Like you
and
can
all
have
those other streaming services and those streaming services segs that are not one of those two, they're going back and forth with those negotiations. They're like, hell yes. Excuse me. You better have called a meeting at midnight saying, How do we pounce on these customers? That's two groups loss is another group's gain. That's called free enterprise, man. Go snatch them any way you can. Just like, you know what? Give me 3-for-1 dogs instead of 2-for-1 dogs. I'm going to the 3-for-1. Give me a 2-for-1 ticket. I'll go there and see. It's just the way it works, man. And they made their bed. Both sides did. Now they're going to have to negotiate their billionaire asses out of it. And we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, it's just a crazy situation that, you know, we are seeing way too much of. I'm just waiting, like, if I were the billionaire, like if I were Elon Musk, let's say, I would try and go and buy all those streaming services, all the big ones, and just try and put them under one umbrella. And like, if I were, you know, able to do that and say, okay, here's everything for $200 a month. You get everything for $200 a month. You know what I mean? It's just something like that.
Asking if he can afford to do it. The answer is yes. Well,
yes, he can afford to do it. I mean, there's a few people in this that can afford to do it, but
not a long list, but there is a list. That's for sure.
There's enough people that, hey, get the five of them together and say, hey, let's do this for the people.
Right.
But anyways, we talked about LSU. Scott Woodward is going to be out as AD at LSU. Verge Osbury, the former linebacker there at LSU, is taking over the interim title, and he is leading the charge to find the next head coach along with a committee. He did say there is a committee for this. So Osbury comes in, takes over. He's got his committee, and they will together find the next head coach at LSU. You have with the timing or letting an interim make this decision, or do you just say, this is the way it is? You got to go with it.
But you know how I feel. Depends on what kind of committee he's putting together. That's what I care about. I mean, hopefully it's a good one that has an understanding of it. And I would imagine it is. I don't want governor making a decision on my team. No. And I don't want, you know, that right now without an AD, it can't just be somebody who doesn't understand the process. Get people. And I would get some outside thinkers. Segs, I got a master's degree in sport management from A&M, so you want me on the committee. Or if you want me to be the full-time AD, I'd be happy to go do it. Yeah. As long as we can still do this show at noon every day from my office, I'm in. But in truth, though, and that's a fact, I think the committee's okay. We talked about it yesterday. As long as the group of people that are in there understand what this full job entails, right? And which this is an important hire. So just as important as the hire, as the guy, the committee is going to hire the AD. Now you have to hold the committee responsible, just like you do an AD for hiring a coach, saying, we've turned it over to you guys. However many are going to be in this committee. Now you are tied to the AD, just like the AD is going to be tied to the new head coach. So this is a domino effect hire at one of the most important and best football schools on the planet. Being an AD is hard. Scott once, I think he oversaw 7 national titles. He's done a good job. The problem is the recent history is A&M back at home at LSU, that the head coaches haven't got them what they want for the $100 million they got. It's not just on him, but you still have to take account. That's just part and parcel to when you decide to take it on with that master's degree and you're an AD. That's what you take on when you do it, regardless of how much the school loves you and when they hired you. That's part of it. That's production. And the guy you hire is the guy you put trust in, and the university and the state put trust in you. So let's see if the committee gets it right. Let's hope they do and finds the coach. It ain't, I'll tell you, there's a couple candidates out there that'd be hard to get wrong if you're able to lure them away.
100%. And we'll see as that search starts to, I mean, I'm sure we'll start hearing some names being mentioned, being looked at, being, you know, vetted to be the next Tigers head coach. And you think with that school, it's going to be a name that you recognize at one of these big schools. I would still be a little, I don't know. I don't want to use the word underwhelmed, but by Sumrall, I know he's done a great job at Tulane, but that's just a big jump. I know he's
feels too big right now. Agreed. Yes. Agreed.
I mean, to me, if I'm an LSU fan, I want Lane Kiffin, or I want Eli Drinkwitz. Those are my two guys. If I'm Penn State, Florida, and LSU. Those are my two guys I'm looking at hard.
I would have said the same thing about Eli that you're saying about Tulane's head coach 3 years ago, two years ago. 3 years from now, I'd say, you know what? All good. Maybe just a little bit more seasoning, right, and I'm good to go. It doesn't mean he's not a good coach, but that's a jump. It's no question a jump, right, Segs? It just is. So, and I'm telling you right now, I don't want the committee to hire the head coach, Segs. I don't. And you're going to have to get on this, even though you're in the season. You're going to have to start to file this down, like whittle it down to getting the people you want. Because what you're going to do is you're going to probably start to eliminate some people committee-wise, probably. But the guy you hire as a committee for the athletic director job has to have the full road to go hire the head coach he wants. Now, you can fudge your way and during the interview process of the AD say, what do you think about the head coach? I would. Yeah. When I'm interviewing the athletic director, when I'm bringing names in, you know what I'm doing? I'm saying, well, tell us about how you're building the football program.
Right.
I know baseball's big there. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff there. Basketball, the women's basketball, there's a lot of good stuff there. But I'm asking him, tell me what your thoughts are on hiring a head coach. That's one of the first questions that's coming out of my mouth to him as a committee, because I also want to know, is he speaking my language? If he's speaking some crazy-ass language of, nah, we're not ready for that guy because you knew him in your past and he's your buddy,
right?
You've just eliminated yourself from this job. So yes. I don't need you to hire your buddy. I need you to hire a guy who can win a national championship, because there's zero excuse at LSU not to be in that contention every year with the players you get and the money you have.
All right, before we get out of here, let's do our Kalshi picks of the weekend. We do three NFL, three college. Let's hit it hard here. I've got the three, in my opinion, the three best games in the NFL, which was hard to decide because there's not a lot of great ones. And then I've got three good college football games. But let's start in the NFL. You got Chiefs -2.5 at Bills, which we discussed. Over-under set at 52.5. So Chiefs are a road favorite against the Bills, which I found a little surprising.
Give me Buffalo at home, signature. Okay. And Segs, I'm trying to think. While I understand Spagnuolo's defense, and I understand McDermott's approach defensively, to me, both quarterbacks are better than both defenses, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Right now, if it was younger quarterbacks and Spagnuolo got his hands into, like we talked about last week, eventually he's going to get you. I'm going over in Buffalo. I think this is like 28-24 type of game. I do. I think it's in that range. Give me Buffalo at home to get their signature win. But with the Kalshi, you know, futures and the prediction line, I understand Kansas City gets inside the number. And I mean, they win by a field goal. I get it. But I'm thinking Buffalo's ready for this. And I like the over because I just think Kansas City's offense is playing at a high level. And I think Buffalo is due for another explosion against a good team. Close in the over. Give me Buffalo in the over in this one.
Okay, I'm with you. I like Buffalo at home, but I'm taking the under. I think it'll be very close, but I think we're looking at like a 23-17, 24-20, and maybe you could even get like a 27-20.
Well, even 27-23 comes up short and gives you the under. Your advantage. Yeah. I just think both quarterbacks could go haywire as long as the weather isn't. I don't think it's the snow there. I don't know what the weather's going to be in Buffalo.
I hope that's what we get. Like, I would love to see both quarterbacks just going back and forth, throwing haymakers at each other, basically. That would make for a really entertaining game. All right. Interesting defensive battle here. Broncos at Texans. Texans, 1.5 favorite. 40.5 points is the over-under.
Under. Denver.
Under, okay.
Under interesting. Denver. I know Nico Collins is back. The Texans had a phenomenal offensive performance. Denver is capable offensively. I think Bo Nix is a really good player. There you see again the Kalshi, the trends and how people are picking it. And I think most people are going to, off recent, they're going to go with what the Texans have done. And C.J. Stroud played well last week. I just think Denver's defense gets after the quarterback. My biggest question in this was last week's offensive line play by the Texans an aberration. Judging by their season, I'd have to think it is. or are they wise enough and can they pull it together again to deal with what is going to be, what is elevating their pass? They get to the quarterback stakes. We know how good this team is. You know how I am about the lowest unders and the highest overs. I just am. And Kalshi's got that trend for you on our Kalshi picks of the week. I'm going to go under, which is not like me. I'm talking about when I get two good quarterbacks in a game.
Yeah.
But I think and the Texans defense is nasty as a mofo. Two of the best. You'll be hard pressed in a game this year to get two defenses that are this active and this good playing against each other on a Sunday. Give me Denver in a close one, but with the under.
Okay, so kind of the same thing as the first one. We have the same team. I have Denver. I have the over, and I think it's just going to be slight, like 42, 43 points, I think will be the finish. And that could be that 23-20 type finish where, you know, Broncos win by a field goal, maybe get a last-second field goal to get it. I think it'll be a close game. I don't see any, you know, where it's going to be this massive breakout of points, but I will take the over just on both, barely.
On both of those NFL games we've just talked about, you know, I'll end up betting one or the other with Kalshi in the prediction, right. But I'm staying away from the over-under in both because I think you could actually get a 17-10 game in Buffalo if Spagnuolo's getting after it, and you could get a 53-point game in this doggone if Stroud and those guys and Sean Payton's going, hey, you know, it sets up. So, but I'm feeling good about Buffalo at home, and I feel good about Denver on the road because I don't trust the offensive line for the Texans just yet. Although I'm starting to trust some other things they're doing, but give me Denver and the under in this one.
All right, then last NFL game, Sunday Night Football. Seahawks are 2.5-point road favorite over the Commanders in Washington. Is sitting at 47.5.
Go ahead. You give me the first one on this one. I know where I'm going.
I like Seattle. I think their defense will travel. I think, you know, McLaurin's out. Jaden Daniels will have to see how he's moving if he plays. It's just one of those things. So I think Seattle has the better team. I think Seattle has the better defense. But I don't know how much I truly trust Seattle's offense. I think Smith and Jigba gives you something. The running back duo of Walker and Charbonnet give you enough, just 3, 4, 5 yards time and time again. So I'll take Seattle and I'll take the under in this one.
I'm with you on both. I'm a huge fan of Jaden Daniels, but I don't know how active he will be in this game. Meaning, because if both of him are at 100%, meaning that arm's ready to roll and his legs are good, that's a hard person to defend. One of the hardest we have in the league because of his ability. Darnold's had a hell of a season. Seattle's defense will get after it. I think this is actually an underrated, really good game. I do. I like this one. These are one of my favorites on the schedule. But I am taking the under because I can see a couple tip ball interceptions. I can see it playing between the 20s, some field goals mixed in. I like Seattle on the road. Again, is Seattle on the road or at home?
Seattle's
in Washington. That's what I thought. Yeah, I Seattle in the under in this game for me as well.
All right, we'll go to college football. Fly through these. We got three SEC games. Vandy at Texas, -3.5. Texas is 47.5 over under.
Vandy in the over.
Manning is a game time decision with the concussion. Sure if he plays or not.
Either way, I think Texas can win the game, but I'm telling you what, Vanderbilt's not fake, man. That energy is different. Give me Vandy and the over in this game. I think they can, as good as Texas defense is, there's going to be big plays in this game. I'm taking Vandy and the over in this one in Austin. Give me that one.
Yeah, I got Vandy in the over as well. I think, you know, the quarterback there at Vanderbilt's playing really good football. I don't think it's as good as people try and pretend it is. I think some people think he's just like, oh, this Heisman favorite candidate. I don't think
he's a grinder, Sigs.
Yes, he's a grinder.
The stats don't match the results when it comes to like gaudy stats. He just wins. I like him.
Okay, so we agree there. Georgia, 7.5-point road favorite against Florida. You know, these two teams are big rivals. The number sitting at 50.5. I'll start this one. I've got Georgia. I think it goes over. And I think Georgia, I don't want to say they're going to win big, but I think they're going to win by 10-plus points. And the 50.5, I think Florida's going to get, you know, you kind of get those bump over the first few weeks of not having a head coach where a guy comes in and he's trying to show what he can do as a play caller on the offense. And so I'm going to say it's over the 50.5, but I still think Georgia wins by 10-plus points.
It's all fun and games, and then you get punched in the face by a Kirby defense, and they've had their ups and downs at times. They're starting to turn it around, I feel. Yep. Give me the over, and a lot of that's going to be by Georgia offensively, I think. And give me Georgia by double digits. Okay. And as much respect, I just think I think Georgia's a better football team. I think their physicality is starting to rear its head. They're not quite making the quantum leaps the Chiefs have made in the NFL, but I'm starting to feel like they're a dangerous team again. I like Kirby Smart will have them ready to go. This is a fun rivalry. But I like Georgia. I think Georgia's going to force some turnovers, get some stops, and I think they'll do enough on offense. This game's it feels like a 30-21 type game, 30-20 yeah. game, something like 31-20 type game, and maybe a late touchdown or late for 17 point, 31-17. I like Georgia in the game. I think that they'll do it, and I'll take the over. I think they'll do just enough, and most of those will be Georgia's points for sure.
And then this one, Oklahoma at Tennessee. I have not been able to decide which team I like in this matchup better. Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under sits at 55, so I'm writing my team right now who I'm picking. I couldn't decide. Normally I have all planned out, and I've just gone back and forth between these two.
Couchy. Look how Couchy's got it, and the fans on Couchy. Exactly. It's not far apart. What's it, 57-43?
That's, you know, you probably lean towards Tennessee because they're home. But I'm taking the Sooners. I'm taking, you know, the offense. I think the over hits at 55.5. I think this is going to be a ton of points between these two teams. But I'm going to take Oklahoma on the road over Tennessee.
You know, I'm tempted to on the over under, I'm tempted to take an under game and thinking Venables will force a few. Okay. Matter of fact, to be different, I'm gonna go opposite of you. I'm gonna take the under, and I'm gonna take Tennessee at home. Tennessee, I haven't been overly impressed with Oklahoma's offense recently, Segs.
Yeah.
And I know the Mateer thing has something to do with it, and he's a tough SOB. Tough place to play. I think it'll be rocking. And automatically, when I think of Oklahoma and Tennessee, Big 12 versus that fast plays, the only thing I don't like about my under is that they're going to run a lot of plays. Tennessee loves to run. Hell, if they're going good, they'll run 85 plays in the damn game, which just says points all over, right? But I'm going to take the Vols at home, and I'm going to take the under because I think Venables' defense is enough to get stops. It may end up being a field goal type game. But give me a 4-pointer, 20-16, 21-17, that type of game. I like Tennessee at home, and I'm going to take the under in this one and say that Oklahoma will get enough stops, but they won't win the game.
That'll do it for our Kelsey picks of the week, as we do every Friday. We pick 3 NFL, 3 college. Go to Kelsey.com, and you can pick all these games right with us. I don't know that I would trust either one of us, because it seems like one week one of us does really well, then the next week the other one does really well, and we kind of bounce.
And then last night we had no clue because Miami didn't show up, which we talked about saying there's a good chance Miami won't show up. Right. But it was like, well, they got the under and they got curb stopped. At least I thought Miami would put up a fight coming off a win. We both thought Baltimore would win the game, but Baltimore's defense showed up. Miami didn't show up for shit. And Lamar did his thing kind of casually, yawned his way through kicking their ass. So, one week it's I'm dominating. Next week you're dominating. And then one week neither one of us. And last night was the start to it. Hopefully that trend will change. But normally we're doing a pretty good job on here. But when it comes to Tennessee, Oklahoma, you're on your own on that one, folks. That's one of those that's kind of hanging in the air. I do feel strongly about the Georgia-Vanderbilt game, though, Segs. I really do. The Georgia-Vanderbilt games, meaning – And in the NFL, but I like the games we chose for this. And Kalshi's got all those trends for you right there, and make your prediction picks and your futures right there, and get them all in.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. You got any big plans this weekend, Sean?
Just handing out candy tonight, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to really watch the games. I got to train a few quarterbacks tomorrow morning early. I may get out today and knock it around a little bit before Halloween. I at least need to hit some balls, even if it's a simulator, one of those indoor simulator places.
But, right.
And just lay low and get prepared for a good football weekend.
Yeah, it's that's what it's going to be, a football weekend. I've got high school playoffs tonight. My nephews are playing, you know, starting quarterback. And then
I can't believe it's – yeah, playoffs already here, man.
One plays wide receiver DB, and he's been out with a broken collarbone, but he returns tonight. And then my sons have their championship game on Sunday, so
– You nervous? Hey.
No, not really.
Yeah,
they've put my nerves at ease. I mean, Preston, my son, that's the quarterback, I think, if I'm trying to remember correctly, I think he's thrown 9 touchdowns in his last 3 games. So he's kind
of. You got to trust him, brother. Turn it over to him and let him rip it. Go be a dad and enjoy it, man. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not worried.
Those kids are far better at it than we are when it comes to just.
Right.
Yeah, don't worry. I got this. All right, man. You prove it.
Yeah. And you watch them. They don't, you know. They want to win, of course, but if they lose, it's like get them some candy and they're good and they move on without their day. But yeah, I expect them to go out and win. So
I remember when I was playing, same way. My dad didn't say much ever anyway. My dad was a quiet, my mom was always pacing around, don't hurt my son on the football field. You know, I don't want, here I am 6'5", 2, and my mom's worried about me, right? And but saying it every week and nervous and rocking and doing, you know, the Mazzone, you know. Leo Mazzone, it's Leo, right? You know, with Atlanta next to Bobby Cox. And yet my buddy come to me and say, let me get my nap right after school before I go, whether it was, we're good. You're the kid. That's why the kid's like, I got this. We'll go and whoop that ass. But the parents are like, scared. And I know I found out with my kids like, oh gosh, let your kid approach it the way you do. They got this handled. Their nerves are better than yours at this stage of your life. So let them have it. So enjoy it, brother. Enjoy it. I'm not telling you any motivational speech, but it goes fast as hell, man. And you know that.
Oh, it does.
Enjoy every friggin' minute and let them, they'll go out and let it rip. And you're right. Pizza afterwards, no big deal, man. But they'll take care.
Exactly. All right. That'll do it for us today. Enjoy your weekend of football. Happy Halloween to everybody. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura, as always, behind the scenes, doing great work. We will talk to you guys Monday.
And we love you guys. Thank you. Rate this stream anytime you want. Subscribe. Tell your friends. We're going to give it to you and have a blast. So please join us, man. We love it. Sorry to interrupt, Sigs.
Oh, you're good. We'll have Coach JB on, as we do every Monday, with his unfiltered opinions on everything we see over the football weekend, and we'll bring it to you as we do every single day right here on Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere you get it. You can find us on TikTok, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, or X. I'll call it Twitter forever. I'll never just call it X.
And all these folks joining in to join us, man, we appreciate the split. Just an hour earlier, and you get to hear it all. But go back and listen. We'd love to have you. 1 o'clock Eastern on Monday. Yes. There you go.
Like and subscribe. We will be back right at 1 o'clock Eastern next Monday. We will talk to you guys later. Peace.